one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not religious, people say, but I am spiritual. I'm not entirely sure what that means. The word religion comes from the Latin religo, which means to link again, to link us again with God, of course. And every bona fide religion has creed and code and cult. That is to say, creed, a system of belief, a code of ethics, and a form of worship, cultus. The problem with do-it-yourself spirituality is that it is a very nebulous thing, based on nothing but subjective belief. When it comes to creed, often it goes like this: I sincerely feel that such and such a true is true, therefore it must be true. But of course, it is possible to be sincerely wrong. When it comes to code or ethics, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, expediency, or what is the easiest thing to do, or what I like to do, is the code of ethics. And the cultus, the worship, often devolves into narcissistic self-worship. Now, when it comes to the angels, it is very possible that we get things sincerely wrong. If you were to wander into a bookstore, not Books a Million, but a real bookstore, you would see perhaps hundreds of books on the angels. Some of them are obviously sort of New Age gobbledygook. Some of them are blends of truths and half-truths. But we have many, many wrong ideas about the angels. For instance, some people think that when we die, we become angels. There is no scriptural warrant for that whatsoever, no more than when your dog dies, it becomes a human being. Some people think that all angels do is sit on clouds and play harps. Again, there is no scriptural warrant for that either. If we want the truth about the angels, we have only to look at the scriptures and the Catholic tradition, which gives us a very accurate picture of who the angels are and what the angels do. Their very name, angel, angelos, defines what these creatures do. They are messengers. They are ministering spirits, in the words of the Epistle to the Hebrew, a thought theme that's taken up in the Collect today. And these spirits are called angels when they deliver a message or discharge a task. And unlike we humans, who are comprised of both matter and spirit, body and soul, angels are comprised entirely of spirit. They have no flesh, no bones. They are neither male nor female, but they are personal beings. They are persons, which is why Scripture calls them sons of God, small s, sons of God. They are far more intelligent, far stronger than human beings. They do not marry, nor do they reproduce, nor do they die. They seem to be organized in some sort of hierarchy. Nine by traditional numeration, starting at the top: seraphim, cherubim, thrones, dominions, virtues, powers, principalities, archangels, and angels. Now, the angels have been present from the beginning of creation, but they are still creatures. They are merely part of God's creation. In the book of Job, the Lord addresses his long-suffering servant with these words, "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" He means the angels at the dawn of creation. Scripture tells us that angels, like we human beings, have free will, and they are capable of rebelling against God. Evil angels are called demons, those who do the bidding of Satan in his war against God. They deceive and they discourage human beings. They use their power over the forces of nature to inflict pestilence and disease. The good angels, on the other hand, are humble, ministering spirits, proud only to serve the Most High God. "I am Gabriel," declared the archangel to the priest Zechariah, father of the soon-to-be-born John the Baptist. And if, of course, it was Gabriel, the messenger who means God is strong, that's what his name means, who came to Our Lady, announcing that she would be the mother of the God-man, Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you've noticed this before, that the angels are most visibly present at critical moments in salvation history, at the incarnation of the Word, after Christ's temptation in the desert, at his agony in the garden, and of course at the empty tomb announcing the resurrection. But angels go all the way back and all the way forward through time, back to the creation of Adam and Eve, back to Abraham and Sarah, to Isaac and Jacob, to Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, forward to the apostles and their ministries, forward to the Holy Catholic Church, forward all the way to the Last Judgment Day, when they will contend with devils for the soul of human charges. "The angel of the Lord," says King David, "encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." Some of God's people have even entertained angels unawares. But above all, remember this: the angels are ministers of Jesus Christ. It is on Jesus, the ladder between earth and heaven, the God-man, that the angels ascend and descend. It is on the God-man, Jesus, who upholds the universe by the word of his power, who took upon himself our human flesh in order to save us. This is the mystery of the divine humility, that God stooped to be one of us. And it is a mystery so profound, says St. Peter, that angels long to look into it. Another of the great archangels is, of course, Michael, who is the protector of God's people, both ancient Israel and the church. His name means, "Who is like unto God?" And he is the one who slays the ancient dragon in the serpent today. The great war against Satan for the soul of the church is led by Michael. And among his legions are the guardian angels that our Lord tells us about, who are assigned to every believer, who attend to the battle between good and evil, which is the lifelong contest for our souls. I have to stop now, having merely given you the briefest surveys. Unlike the angels, we do have to eat lunch. But we need always, always, always to remember that every time we worship, we are surrounded by angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. When in a minute we'll stand up and profess the creed, our belief in all that is seen and unseen, think of all those thousands of angels who are hid from our eyes, and those myriads of angels who are in this very room, right at the end of my fingertips. And when you stand to praise God in song, remember that you are blending your voice with those who praise Him without ceasing. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. And when we say the Our Father, consider how the Father in heaven is attended by His angels. And when you kneel quietly and pray for yourself or for another, remember that there are countless myriads of angels who carry your prayers to the Father. And be mindful that it is the angels who carry God's blessings back to us on earth. So this day and every day, remember the angels and pray that they remember us. Blessed be God in His angels and in His saints. Amen. Let us stand and in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm the faith that comes down to us unchanged from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.